Hello, everybody. This is Mike, the host of Mike and Mickey After Dark, which you can catch every Monday night from 9 to midnight right here on 89.9 KGRG FM. And I am super excited because I am joined here in the studio by my producer slash co-host. Give it up for Mickey, everybody.
Yo.
How you doing, homie?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic. Literally could not be better because we have a special in-studio guest that we're talking to.
Yeah, we do.
Braving the winds and the rains of the autumn blast and all the way from the north end of the Pacific Northwest. Our guest today from Comic Book Characters for Causes. Give it up for Jason, everybody. How you doing?
Thank you very much. Thank you. It's great being here, everybody.
Well, first, so we're very excited to have you in.
I'm excited to be here.
Again, thank you very much for making the trek, because you know, it's all windy and rainy, and
it was a great adventure, and I get to test the four-wheel drive on my truck. So
so first, to start things off, why don't you tell us what Comic Book Characters for Causes is, and just give us a little more background about what you guys do.
Well, Comic Book Characters for Causes, we're working on changing the name. So we've got a new trade name in process to Costumed Characters for Causes, a little more inviting, a little bit more open for people. But what we are is a nonprofit business in the Seattle area. And what we do is we dress up as superheroes in order to raise awareness, funding, and joy for local pediatric charities. And what we often will go to, like, Children's Hospital, the Ronald McDonald House, and then there's always our favorite, which is the Camp Good Times.
Oh.
Are you guys familiar with the camp?
No, tell me more.
Let me tell you a little bit about Camp Good Times. It is actually, you can find it on the web at www.thegoodtimesproject.org. And what they are is it's a no-cost camp for those kids that have been going through cancer treatment. So it's for the kids, it's for their siblings, it's for survivors, and it's a chance for those kids to get out and have a camp experience with other people that are familiar with the things that they've been going through. So it's really, really a neat place. It's had a huge impact on all of us and has become our favorite charity to support. So that's what we'll be doing this year at the Jet City Comic Show. We'll be supporting the camp, trying to raise some funding and awareness, which is part of the reason we're here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very nice.
Well, and that's why we're all here talking in advance of the Jet City Comic Show, which is coming up Saturday and Sunday, November 5th and 6th at the Tacoma Convention and Trade Center. If you want more information about that show, head over to jetcitycomicshow.com. So what will you guys be doing specifically at Jet City?
Typically, what we do is we'll set up sort of a photo booth, and we'll have different heroes that will be in the booth, and we sort of run in shifts, and people will come by, and if they want to get a picture taken with a hero, they can. We don't charge, per se. What we do have is like a recommended donation. So if someone wants to donate some money to the cause, that's great. If they don't have any money or they can't do it at the time, that's fine also. But we're there just to support and kind of have fun. So quite often we'll have, like, not necessarily kids from the camp, but we'll have some of the camp counselors and others will come out and help us. So they did last year, and it was a lot of fun. And it gives us an opportunity to sort of talk about the camp with other families while we're out at the show.
Awesome.
So other than at the actual convention itself, how can people contribute to Comic Book Characters for Causes?
Well, you can find us on the web at www.cbc4.org.
Oh.
So it just shortened up the Comic Book Characters for Causes. Of course, you could always go the long way. comicbookcharactersforcauses.org is also one of ours.
Oh, cool.
Either one will find
us. Yeah.
I was kind of stumbling with that one myself. But yeah, that website, again, is cbc4c.org. Could you talk a little bit about some of the other causes that, that you guys are involved in and support?
Well, we've done various different things. There's been an occasional make-a-wish. We've done fundraisers for individuals. Occasionally we'll come across a, you know, a child that's in need or is struggling. Sometimes those will get brought up to us, and then we'll try and raise an awareness for the family or for the child. There's always the, you know, the Seattle Children's Hospital. We've done some visits there.
Nice.
I'm trying to remember the name. Love Your Melon.
Oh.
I don't know if you're familiar with Love Your Melon. Love Your Melon is right up our alley. What they are is a group that started, they started in college, and they were started making hats for kids that had lost their hair during their chemotherapy. And so what they do is they try and sell the hats to everybody, and for every, when they meet a certain goal, all of the money goes back to into the system to make more hats. And we go around and they'll donate hats to kids and things like that. So we've done some Seattle Children's Hospital visits where we go through and we'll hand out like toys and whatnot. Mm-hmm. One of our volunteers, or as we call them, volunteeros, he's one of the designers for Funko.
Oh,
so I don't know if you're familiar with Funko Pop, but he was able to get us a large cache of Funkos that we took to the hospital and passed out to the kids. It
That's
was a
so
lot of fun.
Great.
Oh, and a little side note, just so that everybody knows.
Absolutely.
This is my little vanity. He designed the Funko Pop called Iron Man Unmasked. So it's Tony Stark with no helmet on, and he's got his hands down. And he did that. That was based on me, not the actual Tony Stark,
Whoa!
But because I know him and I never wear a helmet because it's a big pain, right? So I'll try and get around with all the other stuff. And so he did that one, and at least that's what he told me. So that's my little point of pride is, you ever see that little Funko Pop? That's actually me.
That's so great.
Well, yeah, and that brings us into actually talking about the actual cosplay aspect of it, because you yourself are a pretty... notable cosplayer in the Pacific Northwest.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, people recognize me because I do the Tony Stark thing.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of hair dye in a cheap suit from Sears and some faux gold, you know, costume jewelry. Well, not the ring actually, but, so we do a lot of events, and it allows me to be really like flirtatious and fun, you know, and when you're in a costume, you know, if you've done some cosplay, you understand it's so binding. You're often so hot,
of course,
you know, and then you're uncomfortable, and all you really want to do is get out of the costume. Mm-hmm. And we're doing these stuff for the kids. And especially when we go out to the camp, or if we go up to the hospital, the first time I went to the hospital, I had the Iron Man suit on. And I couldn't go into the rooms because you have to sanitize all the time.
Yeah.
And I had those things on my hands. So what I started doing was just, that's why I went out and got the suit, so that I could go up and visit. And the kid looks at me and he's like, "You're not Iron Man."
Oh, that's...
kids are fantastic.
Yes.
So what is your personal favorite cosplay that you have ever done? Are you always a Tony Stark kind of guy, or...
I've done a couple of them. I almost feel bad saying that I'm a cosplayer, because I have so many friends that truly are. They do so many costumes, and their abilities and their skills in making things is just, it flabbergasts me sometimes. But I do, the costumes I've done have been the various different versions of Tony Stark and Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
I did Odin last year. I got to grow my That's good. I grew my beard out for probably about 9 months, and I had never grown a beard before, so it was really funny to see how actually gray it is.
Yeah.
And I think that one was fun, but you don't get to visit with people. You look a lot older, and you get this sort of imposing look, and people don't want to be friendly with Tony. They won't want to talk and get a picture.
Yeah.
I think the most fun I ever had was the very first cosplay I did, which was a Logan version of Wolverine.
So the
claws and the cigar, which, just for hints, you know, anybody cosplaying, if you're going to use a cigar, get a fake one.
Yeah.
The real one, I actually ate about half of it. It was really awful.
That magic gets real soggy and gross. Really,
that's a bad time.
Yeah, we'd never done the cosplay before, and we were at the Emerald City, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing with this. I'm getting sick. I'm getting a buzz from chewing on this thing, and it's actually...
Oh, that's...
Yeah.
We were just... like, there's prop ones down there. One yeah.
There's like a whole table full of plastic cigars.
I'm like all green going, maybe I should get one.
What is the kids' favorite costume?
Oh, the kids love Tony.
Oh, yeah,
they
course.
Really love Tony because Odin scared him. A little bit. The armor was really cool. It looks like it's leather and brass.
Okay.
Or maybe gold.
Sure.
And, you know, Logan is, he's such a surly character that if I'm in character, and I'm way too smiley to really be Logan. So that kind of throws it off because, you know, he's a kind of a badass.
Yeah. 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 Wolverine, not known for his happiness and or people skills. Yeah.
High five, Logan. No, it's not going to happen.
It's like I got knives in my hand.
Yeah. So Tony is definitely the one that the kids like the most. They respond really well to him. They you know, a lot of kids, they love Iron Man. And then lately it's been Captain America beat you up.
Oh, yeah.
No, he didn't. That was a draw, kid. Okay, I don't know if you saw the movie. I think I held my own against two of them, right?
Like,
right.
I'm about to throw down. Yeah.
Like, the best one was we were at the Ronald McDonald House, and we brought a lot of toys and stuff, cards, coloring books and stuff for the kids. And this little guy came up to me, and he took my hand, and he said, he patted the seat, and he goes, sit down here. And I said, okay. And I sat down next to him, and he goes, I know you're just a bunch of old guys dressing up in costumes, but thank you for coming down and helping us out.
Aww.
And I have to wear the sunglasses.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't get like I'm not going to cry.
Oh, that is so sweet. I mean,
how old was this kid?
He was probably 6 or 7.
I love how realistic he is. Yeah. Like,
but he's holding my armored pinky, you know, and he's going, I love it. You're just an old man in a costume. Thanks, kid.
So one of the things I wanted to ask you is, you've talked about your own cosplay, but generally you'll work with other folks, right?
Oh yeah, we've got a rather large cadre of volunteers that help us out. There are, technically, I'm one of 5 directors for CBCC.
Oh, wow.
And we've grown. It used to be just my partner and I, Kristen. But when we became an actual business, we needed to have a corporate structure, which included a board of directors. And it was either 3 or 5 or 7. And so we've evolved and have been growing quite a bit. So there's our 5 directors, and then we have about 30 to 40 different volunteers that help us out for the major events, and probably a good core of maybe a dozen that help us out more regularly. And among those are some of the most amazing costume construction skilled people. One of them actually is going to be one of the guests at the Jet City Comic Show.
Oh, really?
So to stop in and see Alan. He's been one of our core guys for a long time. Has always been one of our rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, we're talking to Jason from Comic Book Characters
for
causes.
Yeah.
Which you
got this.
It's a bit of a mouthful.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Right here on 89.9 KGRG FM. And you'll be able to see Jason and his volunteeros at the Jet City Comic Show on November 5th and 6th. That's a Saturday and a Sunday.
So, what inspired you to begin this charity?
Well,
because you are one of the founders.
I am, yes.
Yes.
But I'll be honest, the motivating heart, the beating heart behind it was Kristen. She was our original, my original partner and founder. This was something that was very important to her. She became very passionate about it and was very... forward thinking in trying to get the structure going. What happened was she and I worked together and we did Halloween.
Oh yeah.
It was Halloween and I dressed up as Wolverine and she did, I think Laura Croft or something.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
And we had a lot of fun. She's like, we should do this at the con. And
yeah.
I was like, I've never been to a convention. I don't think the first time I go, I should be in a costume. And she was like, no, let's do it.
Yeah.
So we did. And before we went, she had been sort of reaching out through social media and she found a couple of ladies that were kind of going around. There's only 3 of them and they were going around and they're getting pictures taken and saying, hey, you know, if you want to help us out, we're trying to raise money for Seattle Children's Hospital and such. And so she started kind of helping them and being that type A personality, she kind of took control of things and and started kind of, let's try it this way. Let's go over here. Let's do that. And so what happened was the next year, we wanted to take it a little bit further. And what happened was, it's kind of funny, especially in the cosplay community. It's a small community, but life happens. We say that quite a bit. And so, you know, people move away and there's divorces and, you know, life. And so what happened was, it was just Kristen and I the next year. And we were kind of sort of gathering people that we met at the conventions. And there was a guy who runs a publishing, a little publishing firm, so we're kind of right in this area, actually. QEW Publishing is the name of it. And the guy's name's Quentin, and Quentin's just such a friendly, great guy. And he kind of backed us that first year and sort of pushed us to make it bigger, to make it better. And so he, like, got us a table. You know, he even made us a banner, the first banner.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah, it wasn't really what we were looking for, but it was free, and he did it. I mean, he just did it, so it was great. And so we were something more than just a couple people wandering around the convention, but we weren't that much more. We actually had this little cheese poofs ball, little box, you know, at Costco, right? And we'd put that out, and Kristen, she was so cute. She'd be out there yelling, "We are comic book characters for causes. We're raising money for Seattle children." She's yelling at people as they're walking by, like trying to scare them to throw money.
Right?
And, yeah. And so I think we, like, that first year, when with the cheese poofs, I think we raised like maybe $125.
Yeah.
You know, and we're like, oh, that's great. But, you know, it's Seattle Children's Hospital. They get donations of like $125,000, you know. All right, we're doing what we're doing, and we're going to have fun doing it for a good cause. And every year it got just a little bit bigger. And Quentin was like, you should make it like legal. Just go and do the business stuff. So
yeah,
it's kind of what we did. And it just started growing from there. And we got more people involved, the people that had helped us out in that first year. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I think what happened was that we found that the people we met at the conventions were the kindest and most generous people. They were just, you know, wonderful, these wonderful, wonderful people. And that kind of helped inspire us to like do something with that, you know? And then, you know, a kid grabs your pinky or whatever and hangs out with you a little bit. And there, I have this picture from that first year of this little guy, and he must have been 4. And I was just standing there waiting to get a picture taken. And I was doing the Iron Man with like a tank top and like just one arm thing. And he came over and he took my other hand and stood there. And I was like, you look down and you see the child and he's looking at you. And to him, you're a real superhero.
Yeah.
Right. And you start to kind of catch it. That's pretty cool. And so that kind of pushes me to go and do things. And so we just kind of did it a little bit more and a little bit more each year, and to the point until we became an actual nonprofit business. And so we're working on getting our 501c3 so that we're a legitimate charity. So what we do now is we sort of front for other charities like the Good Times Project.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we raise awareness for them. You know, we'll try and raise money, but we have them with us. So there are representations for the charity.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Yeah. And it's taken us in new directions, and there's always someplace else that we're going to try and move with it. But it's a growing process.
So how did you get associated with Jet City Comic Show?
Wow, that's a great one. What happened was, it was that first year.
Okay.
And I was doing the Logan costume again.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were just playing it by ear. We would just show up at a convention and go, well, and we'll grab a corner over here somewhere. Mm-hmm. And the hardest part of being a cosplayer at a convention is you have all this stuff.
Sure.
Right. So you've got coats, you've got costumes, you've got bags, right? And if you're doing shopping and stuff, it gets even worse. So the biggest thing for us was trying to find a place to park all that stuff, right? That was a huge bonus for us. So we got to the first Jet City that we went to was actually at the Seattle Center. And there was a guy in there, and he had a blank white background and a photo booth. He was just standing out there, and I looked at him, and I was watching him for a little bit, and he's like, hey, you know, do you want to come in and get a picture? And I was like, well, okay. And he's like, well, it's for the show. I'm part of the show. And so I'm taking these pictures. They're all for free and people can get their pictures taken.
Okay.
And so I introduced myself to him. He's a really nice guy. His name's Dan Morrill. And Dan did the photos at the Jet City for the next couple of years. Well, what happened that day was, I was like, hey man, let me swing a deal with you. Cause he came over to me and he says, I'm getting a lot more business when you guys are in my booth than when there's nobody here. So would you be interested in hanging out here? And I was like, let's swing a deal, man. You give us a place to kind of park our stuff.
Yeah.
And I'll make sure that there's always somebody in your booth for the rest of the day. So I got the other people, whether it was me, if I had to go in there myself, I would do it. Or the other people, we had a place to park our stuff. They could go and enjoy the show. And he got people drawing in. So you see, you know, Captain America, and you see Wonder Woman, and you see Batman, and the kids lose their minds. And they're like, I've got it. First, they're scared, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, he's Batman, you know, and then they want to go over there. So what happened was we became kind of partners with Dan. Right. We were there to always help promote him, and he was taking pictures for us.
Sure.
Dan couldn't do it this last year, so we've sort of set up our own contact and sort of have taken his spot over as the official, you know, photo booth for the show or whatever. So that's been really wonderful. We're really excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a great, like, being on the ground floor, you know, with a nice show like that, that's fun, but it's not so huge that it's exhausting.
Yeah, like, I mean, I had been going to Emerald City since show one, back at the old Quest Event Center. I went to those first couple shows, and to see it explode into what it is now, exhausting is a great word for it.
Right.
And that's the thing that I like about Jet City Comic Show is it's almost kind of their mission to stay intentionally small, you know, kind of be that back to basics type convention.
Yeah, and for a long time, Emerald City was kind of that way.
Yeah.
Right? And it allowed the customers to go and visit with the artists and the authors. And I mean, that's really a cool thing. Like, I got to sit and talk to Barry Kitson for a while. And I was like, this is great, man. You know, and then he actually came over to me and said, can I get a picture with you? I'm like, this is the guy that drew Iron Man and he wants my picture.
Oh, my gosh.
I thought that was really neat. You know, and with Emerald City, we haven't even, it's gotten so big now, we can't even get a booth anymore.
Right.
We've kind of gotten bumped out. So if anybody out there can get us a booth at Emerald City, I would love that. But, you know, right now it's just everything, their headquarters are, what, Connecticut or something. So
something like that. Yeah. It's all associated with Reed Pop now, and it's all very, very big.
So how would you encourage new cosplayers to get into this art form?
Well, first thing, if there is a costume you want to make, there's just a ton of resources out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's some of the most amazing stuff. So research. So if you want to do a costume, know what it is you want to do and do your research. The second thing is throw out any fears or worries you have, right? Because what happens is as soon as you put the costume on, you're no longer Mickey. You're, you know, whoever your character is. I was going to throw an anime one out there, but I went blank.
But yeah, so you're in character now.
Right. And and that's part of the fun is you get to kind of lose who you are for a little bit, which is one of the reasons I do like Tony is because he's kind of a jerk, but he's a huge flirt.
Yeah.
You know, and that is kind of me and it's kind of fun. Do your research. Don't be afraid to ask questions. There's a lot of people out there and some of the locals, man, some of the people in this area are honestly, genuinely, some of the best in the country.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you get guys like Eric Jones, who lives up by me and does Core Geek Creations. He's incredible. Bill Duran, who does Punish Props. Amazing work. These guys are like stars in the stuff that they do. So don't be afraid to ask questions. Most of the people that I have met in the cosplay community are really, really open.
Mm-hmm.
There's always that one guy that doesn't want to talk about his technique, you know,
that,
it's a secret.
I had a drill sergeant once used to always say, there's always one. I found that a good rule to live by. It's true in the cosplay community as well.
Why don't you talk about yourself a little bit? You know, just, you know, because we're all about those origin stories.
Origin stories.
Of course.
Well, I was born A long time ago.
Same.
Well, okay, so me, huh? I can always do the classic. I was adopted at birth. So going back to origin stories, I think that actually has a huge impact. And I can't speak for everybody who's adopted, but knowing that I was adopted, you develop this fantasy life in your growing up. You know, you want to identify. Nobody in my family looked like me. You know?
Yeah.
My brother was really tall. He had blonde hair and green eyes, and was really thin and was very bookish. Right, I'm short and I'm angry and I'm dark. You know, yeah. I wasn't anything like him.
Right.
And I think that had a lot to do with one of the reasons why I like doing what I do now. I can play with identities now that I'm older. But I grew up in Portland and went into the service right after high school. And after that, I just kind of like beat around a little bit trying to find what it was that I wanted to do. Initially, I planned on going into law enforcement. I was in the Army Military Police.
Okay. Wow.
And that was my goal. And when I got out, it was the height of the Blood and Crip Wars.
Yeah.
I guess you could say the gang wars in 1988. Mm-hmm. And the life expectancy of rookie cops was in months.
Sure.
And I'm not going to say that I was afraid. I mean, there's a certain amount of just reason, you know that you're...
Yeah.
What your life expectancy is. Mm-hmm. But it was, I guess it was... the unique experience that I had in the Army that painted that. When I got to Germany, I was on a physical security site.
Mm-hmm.
So we've watched the rabbits reproduce and the grass grow was kind of the same.
Okay.
Not quite that nice. And we went from that into law enforcement.
Okay.
And I don't know if you've ever heard, I think it was called the Stanford experiment or the Berkeley experiment, where they take the kids and they put them in the basement and they split them into guards and prisoners.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And they tracked the personality changes. Well,
yes.
I kind of lived that.
Oh, I see.
And so when I was I was working with these guys that were guards, had no authority. We just watched the site, right, to becoming law enforcement officials. I watched personalities change.
Of course.
Wow. And the personalities that they changed into, and please understand, I'm not going to disparage police in a general manner, but there was definitely an attitude of us and them, those of us who enforce the laws and all of them who must obey them.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel comfortable with that. So I kind of backed away and I decided that I was going to get into education.
Nice.
So I started studying English and history, video production, took a video production internship for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And I got sidetracked, married, family,
things
like that. And a lot of that stuff kind of goes by the wayside. Like I said, life happens.
Mm-hmm.
And the funniest thing happened. I was kind of avoiding responsibility, for a long time. And I ran into a friend of mine at Chuck E. Cheese's. And she said, "We're hiring."
Oh.
And I need a new manager. And I was like, I'm like looking around going, I can't work here. Then I thought about it and I was like, I need to stop running from responsibility. I need to do something. And you want responsibility, manage a kid's restaurant. So that's what I did. And that's actually what brought me to Seattle was I transferred from the one in Beaverton to the store up in Bellevue. And, when I got there, how do I say this? I feel if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it all the way.
Okay. Right?
Yes.
And if it's going to require me to be a complete dork, well, by God, I'm going to be the biggest dork out there.
Yeah.
And so they would do the shows and they would be like, okay, it's Timmy's birthday. Let's hear it for Timmy. Yay.
Yeah.
And I was like, give me that mic. Let me show you how it's done.
Got it.
Yeah. And so when I came up to the Bellevue store, they put me in to do the show on Saturday, and the show's on Saturday. I don't know if you've ever been in a Chuck E. Cheese in your adult life. They have these big theater there, right? There's probably like 10 really super long tables they pile all these kids into for birthday parties.
Oh, okay.
Right? And this store up here had this really long microphone cable. The one down in Beaverton was like 2 feet long, so like you couldn't go anywhere. I took this microphone and start pacing up and down between the tables.
Yeah.
And as I'd said, I've got kind of a loud voice. Half the time I didn't really need the microphone, but
I started
getting the kids to scream and have contests with each other, who could get the loudest. And the owner's office was upstairs. And it was my first day, and he comes downstairs with three of his investors. And the kids are losing their minds. And I'm like, you're getting loud. Come on. Let's hear it. Chucky wants you to party. And the kids are going crazy. And he's standing there with his like mouth open going, what is happening here? And the kids had so much fun. And the parents were like, I don't know how you guys do it, but the kids are going to sleep great. So thank you.
And then, tuckered them right out.
And then my payment for that was I got to be the show floor manager every weekend, which sucked. I don't have any weekends off anymore. So it's like the old saying, you know, don't be too good at cleaning the toilets, or otherwise you're gonna be the only guy cleaning the toilet. Not that I'm saying it's like cleaning the toilet, but
I get you though.
You understand what I'm saying?
I'm tracking.
So they were like, well, we're gonna have you guys work weekends, and we're gonna take weekends off now. And I was like, oh, I don't want to. That's terrible. I don't want to do that. So that was definitely a breaking down of barriers for me, which has helped me with a lot of the stuff that I do now. I mean, you're exposed for like 2 years of dealing with children and horrible parents. You know, you get kind of a feel for the kids, and you know, my job's to wind them up and send them home with mom and dad.
Yeah. I love that.
Very nice.
Like a fun uncle.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so when the time came and we started doing this and we started doing the charity stuff.
Yeah.
I remembered something a friend of mine had told me once. We had one of those nights, you know, everybody has the rock bottom night, where you're bleak. You're looking at the world and you just don't like it. Right. And I was in a bad place. And he asked me, he goes like, well, what is it you want, Jason? What do you want to do?
Yeah.
And I think because I was adopted, you know, there's always that question, like you were a mistake or you were an accident kind of thing. And I've always felt if I could affect one life, then I've made my time worth it. And so he asked me, he's like, what is it you want? And I said, I want to make the world a better place. And he looked at me and he grabbed me by my chin, pulled me up, made eye contact. And he goes, okay, what have you done? And you can want all day long, but what have you done? And I think that has echoed in the back of my mind for years. And when we started doing this, that's kind of was the motivation behind our challenge that we make to everybody, which is be someone's hero.
Yeah.
So we say that quite a bit. That's our tagline, but it's also a challenge that we give to everybody. So when we say be someone's hero, I'm sorry, hashtag be someone's hero.
There it is. Let's get that trending.
That hashtag be someone's hero. It's our challenge. Sometimes it's just being nice to somebody. You know, even if it's as little as like letting someone merge on the highway, you know, being kind to someone in the grocery store or helping someone pick up stuff that fell on the floor and anything like that. I mean, you know, we take it literally being someone's hero, but that's not what we mean. If we could get everybody to do just one little thing a week, you know, it's working to make the world a better place.
Yeah.
And then, and then we've done something and that makes me happy.
That's great.
I like that a lot. That's that's awesome. And we're talking to Jason from Comic Book Characters for Causes. So to loop it back around to cosplay a little bit, because I witnessed something before we got on the air here. We had the occasion to run into Trevor, T2, our program director, wearer of one of the most epic dad beards you will ever see. Majestic is this.
It's beautiful.
And
luxuriant was the word that popped in my head.
Oh, there it that's a nice word. Shout out to vocabulary. And it was funny because Jason just looks at T2 and he's like, I've got the perfect cosplay for you.
Really?
And he goes, you should be Odin. And I
got the costume, so.
Yeah, I mean, I gasped because I had never thought to think of that. You know, with like the eye patch and the gold and brass armor. And
well, we'd have to white his beard out a little
just
bit.
Just a little bit.
He could also do Volkstag.
Yes.
The Volkstock.
The Vomulus. Oh man, dude, I love those Walter Simonson Thor comics. Those were the best. But I had a question for you, and I don't want to put you too much on the spot. But that telling T2 that he looked like Odin, that he would be a good Odin. It got me to think that you'd be somewhat of a cosplay whisperer. And if you were to choose cosplay identities, aliases for the Mike and Mickey After Dark cast, where would you put us? I'm kind of curious.
Oh, for you guys?
Yeah.
Well, see, what are your inclinations? I mean, with him, it was just... It's obvious with the beard.
It is a very obvious beard.
Perfect. I got the perfect costume for that beard.
Right, exactly.
But, you know, with everybody, most people, it's what they feel most comfortable. It's kind of a what's inside. I guess that's kind of the trick, right? Is, you know, what is it you want to bring out? Like with him, okay. I'm thinking Game of Thrones.
Okay.
With Mike.
Maybe a Stark.
Yeah, you know? Okay.
Maybe a Watcher on the Wall.
Ooh, like that. Don't go north of the wall, man. It's Bad News Bears over there. I like that.
Actually, I'm working on a sort of a mashup.
Okay.
It's going to be, I like doing the Tony Stark because it's really easy. All I got to do is, like, you know, dye my hair and make sure that I'm trimmed up.
Yeah.
But then I mix it up. Like, I did the Odin costume with Tony Stark, and then I was carrying Thor's hammer. And I was running around yelling at people, guess who's worthy, bitches?
That's so great.
Oh,
so
I like
the reference. Yeah, it's funny.
That is pretty funny. I like that a lot.
But I'm working on the Game of Thrones Stark costume, but I'll do like a chess piece that will be more steampunkish.
Whoa, cool.
And then the Tony Stark look. So,
yeah. Oh,
I'm gonna have to get the throne though, and I need to do the brooding look.
Oh, I'm already picturing it in my mind, and it's amazing. So, Mickey, do you have more questions?
We have the last one, which is very fun. If you were a dessert, what would you be and why?
If I was a dessert?
Yes. We've gotten some interesting ones.
That's great. I'm thinking probably a deep-fried Milky Way bar.
Fantastic.
Wow.
I love it. So I on behalf of The Buzz, I guess I'll ask them as well.
Oh, yeah.
So our morning show, The Buzz, which you can catch every Wednesday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. right here on KGRG FM 89.9. They ask a question of their guests similar to ours, food related.
Food related.
So how would Jason of Comic Book Characters for Causes, how does he make his peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
How do I make my peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
Yeah.
Now, is this like the training question where I have to say that I get the bread out of the bag and all that stuff?
No. Well, because like there are people that are very passionate about their peanut butter choices. Like they're like team chunky, team creamy, or like...
Or they need to like toast the bread first, or they need like a specific jelly or jam, et cetera, et cetera.
We had one person one time that said like they have to put like butter and then peanut butter, and then it was like...
Okay,
it was,
that's just weird.
It was a process.
That sounds like what my mom would do. She put butter on everything.
Yep.
Yeah.
Growing up, and get a butter sandwich. That's disgusting. How would I make it? All right. So I've recently discovered it's called natural peanut butter. It doesn't have to be refrigerated, but you do have to stir it up.
Yeah,
really, really delicious. And then the jelly, I prefer a strawberry, but without as many, not a true jelly, I guess. But, you know, you can get the kind that's sort of easier on the preserves, the chunks of as I call them, old strawberries. The strawberry jam and the natural peanut butter. And my daughter got me started using hoagie rolls.
Okay.
Believe it or not. And it's actually, if you get the right hoagie rolls and they're fresh, nice thick layer of peanut butter, and then you can eat it like a hot dog so it doesn't really drip. It just kind of goes out the end, and you know.
Oh my gosh!
But easier that way.
Very specific.
Well, it's funny that you asked that because that has been kind of a thing in the house for the last couple of weeks.
Oh, that's amazing!
Oh man, this has been a treat of an interview.
Absolutely.
I mean, it really, really has.
It's a lot of fun. I'm glad you guys invited me up.
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely. You know, and anytime you have another upcoming event, like.
You just reminded me of something. Oh. I do have an upcoming event, actually, between now and the Jet City.
Really?
On October 30th in Seward Park is the Run Scared 5K. Mm. And yours truly is going to be the MC. So Comic Book Characters for Causes is we're going to have a presence there. We're still trying to make sure we have enough volunteers that we can fill it out. If we get enough people, we'll do a booth.
Okay.
But I'll be there to get everybody started at the beginning, and then we'll bring them back at the end. And let me make sure that I have everything here. But yeah, it's you go to unscared5k.com.
Okay.
All right, and you can register there. It's going to be a lot of fun. The theme this year is superheroes, so it's right up our alley.
Oh, that's great.
If you've got a cape, you know, that's perfect because then it billows behind you when you run. Tell people to come on out. They're going to do candy corn. There's like 12 varieties of candy corn. That's going to be crazy. Pumpkin bread at the finish. They're going to do a costume contest.
Oh, wow.
There's going to be a scavenger hunt before the race. And then there's a free kids dash. Everything gets going. And it looks like they're giving away some it's like a fuzzy blanket or like an oversized coffee mug instead of a t-shirt. So come out and help us out. And it's actually benefiting the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. So again, for a good cause.
Absolutely.
Very nice.
Well, Jason, it has been an absolute pleasure having you up here. Before we let you go, though, is there anything else that you would like to promote and let everyone know where they can get a hold of you and where they can learn more information about Comic Book Characters for Causes?
Well, the things that I want to promote the most are the charities. So The Good Times Project, first and foremost, the Run Scared 5K coming up. And then, for us, there's the cbcforc.org. If someone wants to hit us up there, you can always email us info@cbcforc.org. And that comes into our inbox. And we've got a small cadre of people that go through those and respond. We're looking forward to the Jet City. Oh, by the way, we're going to be in booth 902.
So
you can
there.
Come find us. I think we're the only booth out there, so you should be able to check us out.
Very cool. Let's see. Oh, do you guys have social media?
Yes. At CBC4C on Twitter. And then on Facebook, it's facebook.com/comicbookcharactersforcauses. Oh, you can always find me on I'm on Twitter, too. At Unofficial Voice.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And again, you're welcome anytime, whether you want to come up here and visit us up here in the studio again.
Eat Cheetos? Just hang out and munch
the
microphone?
Dude, definitely.
We're a college radio station, man. we're all about Mountain Dew and Dorita chips.
It's, rock and roll.
Just living that rock and roll lifestyle. All right. Jason, well, thank you so much, and we will talk to you again in the future.
I hope so. Thank you.
All right. Okay.